You are listening to the People Centric Podcast, where we talk through the toughest challenges that people face at work and give practical advice to fixing those challenges. Thanks for joining our movement to create workplaces that are happier, healthier, aligned, and empowered by putting people at the center of all that we do. Hello, people-centric leaders. Welcome to the next episode of the People-Centric Podcast. We were all talking today about performance improvement plans. I had a friend who reached out to me and had been put on a performance improvement plan and just wanted to talk through what that meant, why it happened, what they could do about it. And so I thought it was a great podcast topic for us. I feel like the world has changed a lot in the last, 5 years. And I feel like PIPs have changed and evolved. And so we're going to talk about performance improvement plans today. What you should do as a leader with a performance improvement plan and what you should do as an employee with a performance improvement plan. And I think we all have like similar views about it, but I think we'll all say something different. So I think it'll be great. Today with us, we have Stephanie Anderson. Stephanie, what's your key takeaway on a performance improvement plan? What's your vibe around them?
My vibe is blech. I am generally not in love with anything that feels really like corporate-y. And to me, a PIP is one of those things that even the word and calling it a PIP, I just feel like it's such corporate lingo and really like removes the human element out of giving feedback. And so I'm generally don't love them, but I do believe there is a time and a place for them and have, I think, some strong feelings over how they should and shouldn't be used. So I'm excited for this conversation.
I love that. Thank you. And we also have Bethany Taff with us today. Bethany, what's your vibe around the PIP?
Well, my vibe, I feel like it's something that like students have with their teachers sometimes, or like with like the principal's office. So it feels a little, I don't know. That's the vibe that I get. For those of you watching us, you might be seeing my,
we want to know what Audrey,
my youngest child.
Audrey's going to be the best business consultant ever because she's literally surrounded by it from birth. So,
yeah, she's going to be so wise. Anyways, yeah. So to me, it just feels like this is something you do with a child maybe in like a learning environment to help them. And so it's like, I don't know. It just seems like we shouldn't have to get to that point with adults. Is sort of how I feel about it. So we can unpack all of these things more as we go. It's just, it feels really drastic.
Punitive.
And not, yes, that's a good word. It feels really punitive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we should probably start there with like the management side, why people put in a PIP when they're being used. What are some pros and cons? Let's talk about some of the good practices with PIPs. What are some ways that we've seen PIPs done really well? And then we can talk about like maybe them not so good parts.
Yeah, I will say when I see a PIP done well, it's a way of formalizing feedback. But also with the intent that the employee can do this and can be successful. And I know we talked about that a lot, like in preparation for doing this podcast, but I think where a PIP especially feels like punitive and like you're getting called into the principal's office is when there's not been a lot of feedback before that. And all of a sudden it's just like, boom, here's the document on the table of everything you're doing wrong and how you're doing a bad job. So like, it should be a part of a feedback process, not the only feedback. And then again, with the intent that the employee actually can and should be successful doing this, and that you want them to be successful doing this, because that's where I feel like I get the ick from a PIP, is because it feels like people use it just as a way to put something in an HR file before they fire someone, versus like the real good use of a PIP is like, I know you can do this and I believe you can and want you to be successful. This is just a way of formalizing the feedback that I'm giving to you to say, we do really need to see improvement here, and this is what we need from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think to add to that, I was thinking ideally, if you're going to do this, to like approaching it the way that Stephanie said, and also that the conversation around it is an agreed upon, like some agreed upon like metrics or goals or whatever. To me, I'm like, if it's something where you're having a conversation and it's not agreed upon, then to me, that's like a, oh, well, we're completely misaligned and we should just be probably letting this person go anyways. So that would be like one, that would be one kind of point that I would take. But otherwise, if it's going to be done really well, and this is somebody who's like, hey, we just need to nudge them in the right direction, and we're seeing that they're making mistakes, but they really want to improve and they really want to do better, and we already know that, then let's help them and let's talk about it. And let's figure out like, what are some things that we could, that we can agree on? That's like, yeah, yeah, we do need to do that a little bit better. And then talking about like, what are the ways that the steps that you're going to take to make that happen, and like making sure it's a really supportive and helpful conversation versus just like copying down on paper all the goals that you have as a manager and saying you suck at all these things, just do better, and then like plopping it on their desk and saying, hey, you're on a PIP, like, well, you know, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I love how both of you have alluded to the fact that like, this should not be a surprise. No one should just, it should not be dropped on someone's desk. Like if someone is put on a PIP, there should have been multiple conversations prior to this, like over time of them not meeting whatever standard. And Bethany, I love your point of make it kind of a interactive and make sure that the person understands that they're part of this too, this conversation. And yes, they have to get to a certain metric and a certain goal, but that they can, they have a voice in it. I feel like a lot of times employees forget that they do have a voice in these types of conversations. So I love that.
Yeah. And I think that's why the PIP feels gross sometimes, because it feels like a power move from the manager or the leader, right? Because it comes as a surprise. You don't get to talk at all during the meeting while it happens. And the only question is kind of like the, are we clear, you know? And so I think that's also where it feels gross, is if it just feels like the show of like authority and power in an unhealthy way. And so, sorry, I got really distracted because we work in downtown Springfield, and like someone just honked their horn for like a whole block. And I was like, is someone about to run into the building? So they might have to edit that part out. But anyhow, I think it feels like a gross power move in dynamic. And I think what we're all getting at here too is like, how do you know maybe when to use the PIP and when you should just fire somebody? And if you feel that way as a manager, that you just need to come in and like lay down the law and you're done with this conversation, like, should you just let that person go instead of putting them on a PIP? And I would love to hear everyone's thoughts on that as well, because I have thoughts. But I think this is where, not that we'll all differ, but we all would maybe approach it a little bit differently.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, first of all, I do think that PIPs are useful, right? I don't know that I said that in the beginning. We've all sort of talked about where we think they should be. And I do think that a lot of managers do it poorly, and then it leaves the employees just kind of stuck in this weird place. But, oh my gosh, Stephanie, what was your question?
It was, so when should you do a PIP?
Oh, right.
When should you let someone right. go? Because yeah, I was saying like, sometimes it feels like there's this weird power dynamic or vibe yeah. in the room when a PIP comes, because I said, I think again, best practice would be, this is a part of a feedback process. There's yeah. like, best practice. You should have been giving a lot of feedback beforehand. And this is just a formalized step in giving feedback, not the entire feedback or the entire process. So like, when should you do a PIP? Like if you've been giving feedback all along and you're not seeing change, like when would you do a PIP versus when should you just let someone go?
Yeah, that's a great question. Cause I do think, I think you're right. A lot of times it's this like, oh, I'm putting that on a PIP so that I can fire them later, like to prove that they can't do it. And I hate that. I hate that. I think a really good use of a PIP is when you're like, okay, we've talked about this a lot and I know that you can do it. And there's just, you just don't have that connection point in your brain. And this is like the formal, I'm not going to talk about it again. We're going to check in on it, but we're not going to have the conversation again. You have to start meeting these expectations instead of, I don't like this person. I don't think they're a good fit for my team. I don't really want them here. I'm going to put them on a PIP. I think that's the difference for me. A PIP should be done because you know someone can succeed and you want them. You genuinely want this person to succeed. If you're putting them on a PIP in hopes that they will fail, I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I mean, you kind of alluded to it. I think we talked about like, sometimes I think managers are doing it because they actually haven't been very good at documenting up to this point. They haven't been good at documenting or having the feedback prior to this. So if that's you and you're just like, oh crap, I better put them on a PIP. Okay. Well, just slow your roll. You got yourself into this mess. It's already probably further than you wanted it to go. So you need to give this person every opportunity you can to help support them in, you know, the situation that they're in, unless it's just like a, hey, we're super misaligned. And if you just know that, then it's like, you know, keep track of the things that you need to keep track of, write them down. If your HR needs you to just go ahead and write them down to the best of your ability up to this point and sort of say, hey, you know, if you need, if your organization has HR and they have some policies around that, make sure you're checking with them on that before you just maybe let somebody go. But I mean, otherwise, I think don't just do use this as like an oh crap moment. I didn't do a very good job in this situation. And now I'm trying to like try to take control of it sort of in the last hour. It's like that's just not helpful for the client or for the employee or you really. So
yeah, and I agree. I think if a lot of leaders were really honest with themselves, that's why they do a PIP, because they just realize, oh my gosh, I've never written down or documented when I gave this person feedback about things. And even informally, like Bethany was saying, like check with your HR of what they would want from you, you know, from that. But a lot of times it's just even like make a calendar invite. And so that way we know when the meeting happened and can know, okay, hey, we've met about this, you know, 3 or 4 times now, or hey, we talked about this in the meeting that day. It doesn't have to be this like write up every single time. And I think that's the other thing that managers, I think, get stressed out about is like, oh my gosh, every time I give feedback to someone, I've got to like make a report. No, just like keep track of it somewhere. But yeah, don't then use the PIP as your like CMA, right? And because that's not fair to the employee. And I think it would be better served, like if you really feel like someone is absolutely not a good role fit, or they've made mistakes that are irredeemable in some way, shape, or form, or you guys are extremely misaligned, I think the better thing to do is just to go and have an honest conversation with this person and just say, instead of putting them on a PIP and then making it wait 2 weeks where they're probably going to become more toxic if they weren't already toxic, just go to them and say like, this is just not working out and this is why, and we're going to let you move on to something else that's a better fit for you. You don't have to do a PIP.
Yeah. And I think a lot of leaders also put the PIP out and then walk away from it. Like now it's the employee's job to rectify everything. And I think really good leaders put the PIP out there and then follow up a lot. Because a PIP is stressful. A PIP is stressful to the employee. That is not a good thing to, it's not a good feeling. So then it's like, okay, you put me on a 10-day, 30-day PIP, but then the leader never follows back up. And I think good leaders will take that PIP and say, okay, you're on a 30-day PIP. We're going to meet every Friday for the next 30 days. I'm going to show you the data. I'm going to make sure that you're responding. If I see you doing the thing that I'm asking you not to do, I'm going to tell you right away. I'll pull you aside. Right. But I think poorly done PIPs are just like passed over and then not touched until the time lapses. And those are the moments where I'm like, oh, you really did want that employee to fail. You didn't help them along in the process.
You're just looking over their shoulder a little bit to be like, they didn't meet this goal this week. Okay. Also, this is a side note. Did we actually like say what does PIP stand for? Did we say that at the beginning for everybody just to make sure they knew? I don't remember.
I think I said performance improvement plan, but yes, performance improvement plan PIP. I think I said it, but good call out. Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about the employer part. Do we have more things to say about like the employer manager part of a PIP? Or should we talk about the like employee side of that?
Yeah, I think we probably switch the employee side, but I just want to reiterate like what you just said, Diana, that was so important of like the follow-up and what happens during the PIP is so important because again, a PIP should be because you believe this employee can be successful and they can change behavior or something that they're doing. They can improve a process. If you don't believe they can, then that's probably where you should think about letting them go or letting them move on to something else. And that follow-up is so important. I loved the idea that you shared of like to meet with them every Friday during that and give them feedback. And also just like be transparent. If it's good feedback, tell them that, right? And don't make them like sit on pins and needles for 30 days wondering if they're going to get fired or not, right? Like that's just not fair and not kind to do to that person. And so, yeah, I love the idea of the weekly follow-up. It doesn't have to be a long meeting. And like, even if you're going to put it on their calendar, like also like kind of give away the punchline in that too. Like I'm just really big on transparency for calendar invites, probably just because of some past work trauma where I used to have a leader who would just put things on my calendar and I would have no idea what the meeting was for and what we were going to talk about and whether I was about to like just get praised immensely or completely slaughtered for something. And I had no idea what it was. And so I was like, put the punchline in there. If you are sending the calendar invite for the next Friday, be like, hey, let's meet this Friday to talk about your PIP. Have seen lots of awesome things this week. Right? Like that's easy to do. And it is a kindness. Or even if it's not, then put in there, hey, let's meet to talk about your PIP. I have some feedback. Right? So that way they can prepare for that meeting. Because again, if you want them to be successful, it benefits both of you if the employee is prepared for the conversation.
Yeah. I think that's a good transition to the employee, right? Like, okay, so you're an employee and you get put on a performance improvement plan. I think that is one of the most stressful moments in an employee's career. I feel like that is really hard to have to sit through. And I think we have some good advice for people who are being put on a PIP. So we had talked through a little bit of like, what can an employee do in those moments? And I think let's just start there. What you're in the meeting, what happens? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And how do you handle yourself?
I think the first thing to do is like, look at what they're asking of you and does it feel reasonable and realistic? And maybe we can dive into like, what does reasonable mean? What does realistic mean? For me, it's like reasonable is like, okay, does this fall generally within your role, your normal role and what they're asking you, what the expectation is? Like you can reasonably do these things, what they're asking you to do. And then realistic is like, do you have the tools and resources and support and things that you would need to actually make those changes happen? Because I think one thing we talked about is like when you get that that PIP and what they're asking of you. Like, there are the stories we've heard where sometimes an employee gets, I almost call it served a PIP, and they look at it and they're like, there's absolutely no way. Like, I can't control that part of the process, or I don't have the tools or resources to do those things. Or you're asking me to do something on like a teaspoon budget that really isn't possible. And so I think it is, first you have to kind of evaluate it in the moment and say like, okay, is what they're asking of me reasonable and realistic? That doesn't mean you have to like it, right? But is it really, try to be objective. Is it reasonable and realistic? Because I think if it is, then like, you should probably do it. And I mean, ask a lot of questions still. But if one of those doesn't feel, then like ask questions, bring things up, you know, share for maybe where you feel like there's a hurdle in your way to accomplishing it.
Yeah, I think employees forget that they have a voice in this process too, right? It does feel like you're being served. It feels like you're being handed this thing that you have no choice over. But I do think that if you can either in the moment or afterwards take a minute and reschedule something later, but if you can go back and say, hey, what you're asking of me is either not realistic or not attainable because I don't have this resource, or I need this more training, or I want to do this, but I need this help somehow. I think that's a really important conversation for you to have with your leader. And there's no reason that you can't have that. I know it feels like you can't, it feels like you're just being told what to do, but you can have those conversations. And hopefully your manager has done this right, and you have had these conversations prior to, before you even get to the PIP, right? You've had the feedback conversation and said, oh, well, I could easily do this if I had this thing, or I need more training on this, or whatever that is. But if it hasn't ever been presented to you and now you're being presented a PIP, I think you can have those conversations.
Yeah, I think that's really good. The thing that I was thinking about, because you're right, Diane, it feels really hard if you're served a PIP, as Stephanie said. But it's like,
moments.
Yeah, I think the word that came to mind is just like humility, and trying to have humility in that moment, because I think it can be really easy to get super defensive there and be like, gosh, you have no idea, I'm working super hard, and there's this barrier and this barrier and this barrier. And, you know, I think that's just our tendency, is to just kind of like fight back a little bit with the situation. So trying to remain humble in the moment and be like, maybe I do need to do something a little bit better, so let me at least hear this out. And then to Diana's point, like talking through, okay, here's the things that I'm struggling with then, to be able to maybe achieve this goal or metric, and a barrier that I feel like I'm running into, or what I don't really understand, or what resource I don't feel like I have. And that's okay. And then the other thing I was going to say from the employee's perspective is, don't wait on your manager to follow up on communication for this. So if you are put in this situation and you feel like you need some feedback soon, like don't wait for them, like go to them and say, hey, I just want to make sure that I'm moving in the right direction, if they haven't set this up with you already, and go seek out that communication and ask for that feedback directly, so that they know that you are on top of it and you are looking to improve, and that you're doing everything that you can to make the right move. That's a conversation I had with a client sort of recently in coaching, was just they were sort of in this situation and felt like they were sort of being watched, but they didn't know the intent behind it. And I was like, hey, if you're not sure about this decision, or you feel like you're waiting on something, we know that you've already been given this feedback before. Don't wait on this person. Go seek out the information you need, or go get the feedback you need from your team. And just don't wait around on that input from people.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that you use the word humility with that, because I think from my seat, the biggest piece of humility and what you're going to have to flex is that you probably don't understand something, right? Because if we're being really, really honest with ourselves, if you understood it and you got it and you knew how to fix it, then you probably would have done it already. Right. And like, that's like, I know it's a hard truth sometimes to accept about ourselves. So I think the biggest piece of humility in the PIP is probably going to be admitting you really don't understand something or you don't know how to do something. So I love how Bethany framed that too, of like, don't wait for them to come back and give you more feedback if you genuinely don't understand what they're asking of you or you don't know how to do the thing they're asking of you. You don't have to figure this out all on your own. And again, the good intention of the PIP is that your employer really believes you can do this. So go back and say, and I promise you, like, it's going to be worth it, because if you can be successful, even if it admits maybe taking that like ego hit or a little bit of risk in the beginning to be like, listen, I just have to be really honest and say, like, I don't know how to do that, or I don't really understand how that part of our business works, or, you know, I missed that, you know, in training or when we were onboarding that client or doing this thing. It benefits you to just be honest about that in the beginning of the PIP conversations, and then to follow up and ask more questions versus like fake it till you make it doesn't work. It's bad advice, right? And like, especially in a moment like this, like, it is just far better to get the answer up front, admit where you need support and help versus trying to pretend, because it's going to show, right? When, and you are being watched more closely now, so it's going to show. So just ask and go for it, and be humble in that way. And Diana, you said something too of like, you know, when you ask questions or how you're going to think about it, it is totally reasonable when you are given the PIP to say, hey, can I sleep on this for the night and come back to you tomorrow with more questions? Because I get it. Like, for some of us, feedback is really hard and it's an emotional experience. Even if you are expecting it, it is hard and emotional. And I will tell you, like, I'm one of those people, and I will put on a brave face in the meeting, and I will tell you, like, I would never cry and do that. But like, you get home and then you're like a little emotionally devastated, right? Because like, you want to do a good job, and it's hard hearing that you're not meeting expectations in some way. And then especially to like see your name on the top of the paper that says PIP, and you're just, it is, it's a little emotionally devastating. And so it's okay not to have all of the questions in your mind in that moment, because honestly, your brain is processing a lot of emotion and you're probably not going to think of all the good questions. So it's totally reasonable to say, like, thank you for bringing this to me. To be honest, like, I'm a little bit in my emotions about this right now. Can we meet tomorrow? And I will have questions for you and more things we can talk about, and just give yourself the night to sleep on it a little bit, or maybe even call your trusted person in your life to help them, like have them help you process it, and then come back with the questions the next day. Or especially if you have objections to the PIP, like, think on those objections.
Yeah. Well, and I think I mentioned, for the very reason that I am a processor, right? I said, take a day, because I need that time, right? If I was put on a PIP, I would need the time to think through, what do I need to be successful? What questions should I ask? What resources do I need? And I think it's okay to come back later and say things like, hey, is there someone that's currently meeting this expectation that I could job shadow? Or is there a resource that I could get? Can I get coaching for my, I don't know, my timeliness? I don't know, whatever you're on your PIP for. Like, can I get coaching? Can I get an additional resource to just help me through this thing? And I think it's okay to ask for that. But in that moment, it might not be the first thing you're thinking about. You're probably thinking A, emotionally, and B, about defending yourself. Like, that's what I would do. So I think taking the time and just saying, I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask for resources or ask more questions, is totally appropriate. So don't feel like you've lost your power or your voice in a PIP. I feel like you need to continue to believe that you still are a valued team member. They just want more from you, right? Like, if they didn't want you there, hopefully they would have let you go already. And this is a moment where you can say, I want to be here and I want to do this and I can do this. And I'm gonna ask for the resource, or I'm gonna ask for the training, or I'm gonna ask for the time or attention to get me where I know I can be. So yeah, I don't want anyone to feel like they've lost control in this situation, because I don't think that's totally accurate.
Yeah, completely agree with you. And I think that is the fear in the moment, right? That if like I don't have that immediate rebuttal or thought, that then like the conversation has ended when I walk out of the room and I can't come back. And that's just simply not true. And I actually think, you know, if you're someone like me, who is rather assertive, and I do think on my feet, but sometimes to my own detriment, sometimes I should slow down and process things, it does not serve you well in that moment to start poking holes in things, because then it just turns the table and it just switches the power in still the wrong way, right? Because then you're pointing at your manager and saying, well, this is everything that you do that makes my job hard. That's not going to win you a lot of points in that moment. Even if you're right, it's not going to win you a lot of points in that moment to just turn the table. And so I think take that moment. And if you have that initial instinct, because again, that I am, if it's fight or flight in that moment, I sometimes am fight. And it's taking that moment and saying, it's probably not best for me to share this right now. Go home and think about it. And then think about, okay, if I need to give feedback back, how could I do that in a way that feels constructive and supportive of the team and the company and of my leader? And here's the other thing too. If you do not feel like you can do that, then that might be your sign that you are misaligned. And even if you're right, that you might be misaligned, then maybe you need to move on to something else. Like if you really don't feel like you can give kind, constructive feedback to your manager and that they would hear you and be willing to have that conversation, and that you guys are diametrically opposed on certain things, then maybe that's part of your signal to yourself to think about, like, is this the right place for you?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I was going to ask kind of Bethany, because you've coached people in these situations and you're an excellent coach. And so I was kind of going to say, Bethany, what's your like number one thing you would say to someone who has just been put on a pip, and like, what should they do?
Yeah. I feel like you guys have covered a lot of it. I think the first thing I would just be like is, I mean, you know me, I feel like I always just try to empathize with people in the moment. First of all, to just be like, that sucks. I'm sorry. Like, and it does. And I think it's okay. Like if you're in that position, it's okay if you need to just like have a minute and like feel bad about it. That's fine. Like,
you're probably going to cry and that's okay.
Like that's okay. I get it. I would totally cry too. But yeah, it's like, okay, if you need to not react in the moment, try not to react in the moment. But usually it's after that's happened, right, that I get to talk to people. They've already received the pep, and it's like, okay, so what do I do? And it's, I think a lot of these things is just sort of saying like, well, is this reasonable? Like, can you see opportunities where you can do better? Like, or where you maybe haven't done everything the way that you should have done it, or to your best ability, or maybe there was mistakes there and that was part of it. And it was just like, it was an accident, but it's happened more than once. So it's like, so you can't blame, you know, your boss either for that. But then what do you need to do to make those changes and to hold yourself accountable and all of that too, so that it's not just a blame game? What can you take responsibility for? And it doesn't have to be a fight. You know, I think that's the conversation that I would have with people too, is like, this doesn't have to be a fight. I think it can be really, I think you can have a really good supportive growth conversation in this. And if you kind of voice your needs and your boss voices what they need to see from you too, this can be like a really positive thing. I know it feels really bad in the moment, And I totally get that, but there's got to be a moment when it's like, okay, I feel bad, have your moment. And then there has to be a moment where you have to just shift and decide, how do I need to proceed from here? Is this something that I think, okay, I can totally do this. Let me get on board. Let me make some changes. What do I have control of? What do I need support on? And then if I can do that, then I can head in the right direction. Or is this just a moment where it's like, I just can't get past this. I can't do what they need from me. And I've got to make another decision. But you can't sit in the middle of it for too long, or you're not going to do anybody a favor. You know, you're not going to do any favors for anybody, and you're going to put yourself in a really bad position. And so there has to be a moment where you have to shift and decide and have to pull yourself out of your own pity party to figure out what you're going to do.
I think all of that is great advice. Is there anything else that we haven't covered or that we feel like we really should say regarding PIPs, either manager or employee? I feel like we've said a lot. We all know that.
Yeah, I feel like we've said a lot. My big takeaway is, like, for the manager is like, don't use this as your excuse to fire someone, right? Like, do the kind thing. If you really need to let someone go, the kind thing is to just tell them that and say it's just not working out and give them some honest feedback. And I think that's scary to do. But I promise you it's better than if you, cause you're just prolonging the process by putting them on a PIP. And I think I said this earlier, if they were toxic before, putting them on a PIP and making them wait another month to be fired is just gonna like add fuel to the fire of their injustice against you. So like, don't only use the PIP if you feel like you really believe someone can be successful and you just need to use this as a tool to formalize the feedback that you're giving them. And then, yeah, I think for the employee, it's just remember, like, you have the biggest piece in whether this is successful or not, and ask questions. Like, don't feel like that this is just happening to you. Be involved in the process of your PIP, and don't just sit back. Like, ask more questions, lean in, have the meetings, don't wait on people. I think everyone has said that so well, but those would be my two big takeaways.
Yeah, those are mine too. And my thing is, I think I find it hard to believe that anyone wants to come to work and do a bad job. So I, as a leader, leaders remember that no one wants to go to work and do a bad job. Employees, you're not coming to work and like actively sucking at your job. So I think both sides really want the same thing. So remember that in these conversations, is that both sides want success. Both sides want it to be successful. At least that's the goal anyway. So oh,
that's so good. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I genuinely believe that no one wants to go to work and do a bad job. I just really, really feel that in my heart. So, both sides need to remember that about each other, right? Your manager's not trying to do a bad job by putting you on a PIP and not talking to you about things and like not giving good feedback. And the employee's not trying to do a bad job by not meeting whatever expectation you have. So bringing it together and having the good conversations around it will be helpful for everyone. I think those are my like main things. Bethany, did you have anything you wanted to add in conclusion? No.
Yeah. Not really. I feel like you guys covered most of it. So
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know it'd be a cop-out answer, but I feel like pretty good.
No, I think you're right. We A to Z it, you know? So, well, thanks everyone for listening. If you guys have questions or topics that you want to bring to us, listen to our outro. It'll tell you all of that. Otherwise, we will listen and be here next week. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening to the People Centered Podcast. We are so grateful for you joining us every week. If you like this content, please like and subscribe. Also, feel free to share on your social media with everyone that you know. It really does help us. If you would like to contact us, I have put our information in the show notes. Please reach out anytime. We love hearing from you. We will be back next week with a new topic. Until then, be well and lead well.